those moments when you fall, it's okay to fall, but like take an extra breath, just breathe and get up. Even if it starts at a crawl. Start at a crawl, turn it to a walk turns into a jog, and a jog turns into a sprint. I don't even say wins and losses, I say wins and lessons. Like, don't even look at losses as a loss. There's a lesson behind it. There's a reason that might have happened. And you just have to know that it's gonna be okay and that there has to be an explanation for it.
Today we're joined by Sydney Hunter, a fitness coach, elite powerlifter, and one of the new competitors of American Gladiators. In this conversation, Sydney takes us through her journey from her early passion for fitness and athletics to the process of auditioning for American Gladiators. We talk about the discipline behind elite performance, how she maintains the energy and mindset needed to compete at the highest level, and why building real strength still matters in the digital age. This is Bay Area Innovators, and I'm your host, Steve Espas. Sydney, welcome.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's fantastic to have you here. So you're one of the newer addition. So congratulations,
first of all.
Congratulations to American Gladiators.
Yes.
You made it. I'm in it.
I'm so excited.
And that's so amazing. You know, I watched the show when I was much younger, mm-hmm. pretty much a kid in the 90s, mm-hmm. early 90s. You were not even born at that time.
I was not born just yet.
But it's coming back,
yes.
And I think there's a lot of excited people about it. So first, I got to ask you, like, you did track mm-hmm. in when you were young. How did you get into track?
I got into track because, one, my mom ran track growing up and into high school. And then track for me was the sport that always, I was just the fastest at. It was in first grade. I beat all the boys. We had Goodwill Games. I went to Mary Hill in Sacramento. Uh-huh. And it's called Goodwill Games. And I beat all of the boys. And my mom was like, I think she might be kind of fast. So we kind of just stuck
at it. What grade?
First grade.
Okay.
So first grade, really, really early. Yeah. So I kind of just had the wits at it. I had the speed. So I ran track from first grade all the way up until college. And I played other sports, but track was always the one sport that I won excelled at and the one I just seemed to enjoy the most. Mm-hmm.
Now, you also did horseback riding.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So I did horseback riding from grade 4 to grade 8. Mm-hmm. It definitely was a different sport. Mm-hmm. I did equestrian riding. And for an African-American girl, riding horses was something that was different, but I absolutely loved it. I think having control of such a big animal, like
yes.
being such a small girl, but being able to control such a big animal was so different. But for me, when it came time to decide, like, okay, what sport am I going to be serious at? Because in my household, it was a one-sport household when it came to getting a scholarship. Very early, I knew that playing a sport meant you're going to be getting a scholarship to college. So in eighth grade, when it was time to choose what high school I was going to go to, I needed to decide what sport I was going to play.
So you chose track.
I chose track because as a black girl, there weren't a lot of role models
right.
in horseback riding.
Right.
I didn't have anyone to look up to. In track, I had Allison Felix, Sonia Richards-Ross, Flojo.
Yeah.
Carmelita Jeter, you name it. I had so many role models and influences that I could think, I want to be just like her. So it was a little bit easier to see my path when it came to track.
And of course, you got to say, you're from Sacramento.
Yes,
and
I am.
Close
Sacramento,
enough,
born and raised.
Local. So then you moved from track
mm-hmm.
to powerlifting.
I did.
And how did that happen?
So after college, I went to UC Riverside on a track scholarship. Mm-hmm. And I always lifted weights. And I was pretty good at it. I was pretty good at lifting weights. It was something that I excelled at as well. And when it came time to, like, everyone in the gym saw, like, I was strong. Like, I was really strong. One of my friends, like, said, you should powerlift. And I was like, I don't know about that. I started powerlifting. And the thing for me that kind of drove my competition spirit was powerlifting was very black and white. It was one-to-one. Either lift the weight or you don't. It's very easy to see who wins.
Right.
Like track is whoever crosses the line first wins. Whoever's yes. the fastest wins. And powerlifting is that same. Whoever has the highest total wins. Yes.
For the audience, please tell us powerlifting, what does it consist of?
So powerlifting is just squat, bench, and deadlift. Okay. So you get your highest total with those three lifts.
And you have like three tries?
You have three tries for each. Three tries for your squat, three tries for your bench, and three tries for your deadlift.
And so if you make it, you can go to higher.
You can go to the higher each. Yeah. So after your within your three attempts. So you have to kind of pick strategically with your coach what your attempts are going to be.
Right.
So for me, competitively, it kind of drove that spirit because track is a team sport per se. And when you're playing with your whole college team, you're trying to get points. But in the all in all, it's really a one-to-one sport. Like, it's a one-on-one sport. Like, it's you and that clock. And for me, with the weights, it's me and the weights. So when it was time to make that transition, it's something that I loved. It's something that was easy to track in my mind in terms of my progress. And I've absolutely loved it. And right now, powerlifting is where I feel the most powerful, where I feel the most comfortable at all times.
And now I gotta ask you, you know, there's a lot of kids out there, mm-hmm. and, you know, even adults who have a hard time sticking mm-hmm. with something, right? And you stuck with it for so long,
yeah.
you did so well. Give us some elements that made you stick with it. And the motivation, you know, how did you keep going all these years?
For me, what's kept me going is never comparing my journey to anyone else's. Always making sure that my goals are for me and also making goals that are attainable. Small incremental goals, of course, having that one big goal that you want to reach, but also having those small incremental goals that are attainable for you and also having fun along the way. Like, of course, like some things can be serious, especially if you're trying to go for a big championship or a big title. But when it comes to the everyday things, make it fun, find joy in it, and also find a community that's going to uplift you. And I think that's what's kept me on it, is I found communities that uplift me through it, and also I've found it fun for myself along the way.
And I believe now you're ranked fourth
yes.
in the U.S.
Yes, in powerlifting in the 63 kg class, which is 138 pounds.
Tell us about some of your records.
Back in 2019, when I first got into powerlifting, under the USPA, I was the 60 kg world record deadlift holder. And it was something that right out the gate, I just was like, I was like, whoa, this is incredible. And it was just so fun being able to just attack those records through and through. And even I got the total record back then. And just being able to achieve those things in the strength facility and just like as a woman made me feel so powerful. And also just made me feel like I'm doing it for me, but I think the things that kept me going more than anything were the messages that I would get from my followers and community online. Like, thank you for inspiring me. This is inspiring. Like, I love what you're doing. It makes me feel like I can do it. And I'm like, that's my why. Like, for others to know that, like, you can do it. Like, you may not get it the first time. You may not even get it the second time, but no matter what, just keep trying, because one day you're going to look up, take a little bit deeper breath, and you're going to get it.
So how important is the community and your family into all of this? Because you mentioned your motivation, mm-hmm. right? But how much do the others help you to keep going?
Oh, absolutely everything. My community and my family, I couldn't have done it without them, especially when it comes to growing up. I was already into track very early.
Yes.
I started lifting when I was 13. But I got bullied for it because I was a little bit stronger. I had muscles as a 13-year-old, but like, I'm trying to figure out, I'm getting bullied at school for having muscles, and that's not that fun.
Yeah.
But my community and my family mm-hmm. are telling me like, you are beautiful. You are strong. You're doing this for a purpose. Like, okay. You're lifting because you want to be stronger, you want to be fast, you want to be better. And I am stronger, I am faster, I am better than everyone that's bullying me.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm quieting out the noise. Wow. Nothing that you guys can say can hurt me because I have a community and a family that supports me. So I think without their love and support and their encouragement and pumping that confidence into me, I wouldn't be half or even a quarter of the woman that I am today.
Now, usually, you know, I wouldn't bully someone that's stronger than me.
I think people try to say whatever they're going to say and see if it's going to hurt people. But, like, it wasn't going to hurt me because I just had such a community behind me.
Well, in today's world, you know, we have so many kids playing video games.
Yeah.
AI is developing so fast, which in so many ways is supposed to do everything for us.
Yeah.
We're just going to sit there and do nothing, right? So tell us about how you see the importance of physical activity, of training, of working out with all of these kind of static and video stuff that's happening.
I think for me, I've been a personal trainer now for going on 8 years, an in-person coach for 8 years. And I think with the world of everyone going online and everyone doing different things online, I actually was just talking to my mom about this like 2 days ago. She's like, do you feel like your job's threatened? I was like, no, not even. Like, I'm getting phone calls, emails, nonstop. People are not afraid to come into the gym. People want that in-person connection. And I think the biggest thing with AI and video games and fitness is the one thing that's missing is, like we just talked about, that community. Like, you don't get that community feel. You don't get that talking point. And I think the number one thing that I see with my clients when they're coming in is, working out is part of it, but half of it is them just wanting to talk. And a lot of it is figuring out the root behind why they got to where they are, the root behind why they're in their place that they are. And sometimes they just need a listening ear. And that listening ear makes them feel so much better. And someone just being able to talk to them makes them be able to go on into another day.
Right.
And just being able to, you know what, like, I feel okay. I just needed someone to talk to.
Yes. Well, it seems is for people who play a lot of video games, you know, it's just the opposite. They're lonely. They're depressed, and they get more into the side that they're not talking to other people.
And it's just you just sometimes need to talk to other people and just be around others. And it can be scary. Yes. It can be intimidating. And I hear you. But you just have to start somewhere. And it only gets scarier if you don't do it. So you just have to take the first step and be like, I'm going to go just a little, maybe go on a walk. And you go that same path every single day. And eventually you're going to see that those same people on that path, you give a head nod.
Yes.
The head nod turns into like a, how you doing? Then the, what's your name? And then you might go get coffee. And then, so it just turns into like, take small steps. Mm-hmm. And it can be scary, but so many things in life are scary. You just have to overcome them.
Now, talking about small steps, you took a really big step when you ended up on the American Gladiators.
Huge step.
Yeah. So 16 out of the whole country that made it to the show.
Yes.
Tell us, how did it come about? Did someone just call you and say, hey, you want to be on it?
So my friend Allende, he called me. He is an amazing gladiator on the show. Just wait till you see him. I can't spoil it, but wait until you see him. He's great. So he called me and he was like, Sid. Out of nowhere, he's like, Sid, I just finished an audition for American Gladiators. I think you'd be great. And I'm like, huh? Like, out of nowhere. And I'm like, okay, give them my number. So he gives them my number. I get on the call with the casting director. We talk. She's like, let's do a Zoom. Get on Zoom. Do that. She's like, okay, we need to have you come in for a combine. I'm like, okay. We do that. And then do the combine. I'm pretty confident in my skills. I kind of read, before I read what we have to do, and I'm like, I got this. Combine happens, and I'm like, yeah, I think I nailed that.
What does that mean, combine?
Like we had like an in-person interview. We had a Zoom interview, now we have an in-person interview to kind of show off what we have to do, strength-wise. And then we had like a camera portion, and I nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 minutes later, they call me, and they're like, we want you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. What? And this all happened in a matter of 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like, in a matter of 2 weeks. Out of nowhere. And I'm like, what?
Including the audition?
From call to combine, 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm just like, what is going on? But it was so amazing. Like, it all happened so fast. But at the same time, this was back in 2025. So I'm also training for a national competition at that time. So I'm like, okay, thank you for doing this, but I got to lock back in. I have nationals to compete for. So I kind of do that. And then I'm like, let's handle nationals. Let's do nationals. So I do nationals. It goes absolutely fantastic. But at that time, it was just such a whirlwind. And I'm like, wow. And as the 2 weeks is, like, I'm kind of going through the process, it's kind of becoming all real. Like, I'm starting to kind of, like, see myself in the position of it. Because I'm big on visualization. I'm big on manifesting. And this also wasn't something that I had thought of or even known was happening. So it wasn't something that I was going after. It's just when things are right, they're going to happen for you, I always say. And this was right, so it happened for me. But as the 2 weeks are happening, I'm like, oh, wow, this is real. This is real. And then when I got to the combine, I was like, this is mine now. And once I kind of locked into that this was mine, there was nothing that was going to stop me from having it.
Wow. So I know there's a lot of details that are not public yet mm-hmm. and you cannot talk about.
Yeah.
But how much can you tell us about the audition and about the show itself?
I mean, the audition was hardcore. It was no joke. I mean, we're gladiators. We are the best of the best. We're the toughest of the tough. So it was no joke. And in terms of the show, we're bringing back the OG games. We're having the nostalgia of anyone that loved Gladiators before. You're going to feel that. Anyone who hasn't seen it before, get ready to watch the best show on television. So in terms of what is to come, get ready for great television.
Do we have a timeline?
2026. It's coming soon. It is coming soon before you know it, though.
And it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime Video. So make sure you have Amazon Prime Video. You definitely should.
What would you say was the toughest challenge for you to get the role, the position?
The toughest challenge was not telling anyone, honestly.
Oh, you couldn't talk about it?
No, I couldn't. And it was so hard.
At least not.
That was during it. But the toughest challenge was, I think, the training. It was a lot different from the training that I was doing. Because I trained powerlifting, which is very squat, bench, and deadlift. You kind of do the same three things over and over. So when it was time to switch into, like, gladiator training, I was like, whoa. So it was a lot of different training. The training was difficult. And also having to just be, it's a different type of show because it's real. Like, but it's also, the cameras are on. So you're having to make sure that you are competing, but also making sure you're doing what you have to do for the cameras. So it's the play of both, but it is a real competition show. And I think the challenge for me was just being in a new atmosphere. But I also loved having that team aspect again, is what I missed more than anything. It felt like having my fellow gladiators was being back in the locker room with, like, how it was with my teammates in college. I think that was my favorite part. Like, before, how getting to hang out with everyone all the time, like, the locker room, like, that was what I loved the most. And honestly, it was a challenge being away from them after a while. Our group chat was always like, we miss each other.
But, so you made some friends?
Oh, absolutely. Or, shout out to my friend Abigail. She's like my right hand, that's my bestie. So she's another gladiator on the show. So shout out to Abigail.
So what does it mean to you to be part of the 16 people who are part of the show?
It means inspiring young girls to know that strength is necessary. Strength is beautiful and it has a place. It means dream crazy, dream big. It means that there are no limitations to what you can do, what's possible. And it means that when you're doing what you're supposed to do, good things are going to happen.
Tell us about some surreal moments, some funny moments that you had filming the American Gladiators.
Surreal would be seeing my name. Like, seeing my gladiator name.
Which you can't reveal.
Which I can't even reveal to say, but seeing my gladiator name in big lights. Seeing it walking into the stadium and seeing it all, I think that was a surreal moment. Like,
it's happening.
This is real. And I think another surreal moment was, like, that first time when they're, like, saying your name over the speaker and you walk out and you're like, okay. And as you can't redo. There's no redo. It's like, and we're going. Yeah. And I think it was that night after, and I kind of just sat in my room and I was like, I just did that. And we're doing it again tomorrow. Whoa! I think that was a serum. Like, this is actually happening. Like, you talk about it, you train for it. Yes. And then when it's happening, and I even remember, like, it was probably towards the end of filming, me and my friend Abigail, we were like, let's just, we got there early, like, let's just walk around the stadium. So we just took time to just walk around the stadium, say hi to everyone, and just take a time to actually, like, breathe and be in it. Because I think so many times we do so many amazing things that we don't ever take time to be in it. Yes. And I will say, I was the historian of the group. People are probably so sick of me taking pictures. I took pictures of everything, and I know that now they're all so happy I took pictures of everything. But I took pictures and videos of everything because I just wanted to remember the moment. In terms of exciting, I think the surreal goes with the exciting of just, like, seeing my name in lights and seeing it all happen and, like, being out there. And just also, like, the girls, little girls coming up to me being like, you're my favorite. I'm like, oh, gosh, you guys are going to make me cry. And, like, just signing the autographs, I think those are some of my favorite moments.
Well, next I want to talk to you about your core philosophy on building strength. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your philosophy and how important that is for your career and in general for sport.
Yeah, so my core philosophy in building strength is keep it simple. I think I'm so happy that everyone's into fitness now and everyone's into new trends in fitness and all these things, but we have to stop the quick fixes. And I think my thing is laying the foundation and also meeting people where they're at and also setting a good foundation and building it from there. Because I think if you go in with the approach of how fast can I get there, it's not going to happen. I think now with a lot of the trends today, it's how fast can it happen? How quick can you lose the weight? How fast can you get strong? Yes. It's all fast, how fast? Like the number one thing when I post a transformation of my clients is, not, oh, she looks great. How fast? How long did it take? Why does it matter? Yeah. It's about the fact that the person got there. Right. And everyone's just worried about how fast. I think it's about if you can build the foundation. And I've been able to build my foundation. I've been lifting since I was 13. I'm 29 now. So I've been lifting for a very long time. And I've been able to keep my physique the same for a very long time as well. Is that I've laid the foundation, I've kept it simple. I've kept it very simple, I've kept it very straightforward, no extra shenanigans. And I think it's about laying the foundation correctly and building upon that. Because if you have a shaky foundation, the house is gonna fall.
Yes. What does real strength mean to you? Mm-hmm. And what, more importantly, how do you coach that?
Mm-hmm. Real strength to me means being strong mentally, physically, and emotionally. I think sometimes we look at strength as just being something physical. And yes, that's not absolutely the case at all. Yeah. Strength is something that is being mentally strong, being emotionally strong, and being physically strong. If you have all three of those, you're unstoppable. Because your body is, if you take it for granted, it can be gone quickly. Something could happen. And if you have an injury and you don't have the mental strength, because if you get an injury, your physical strength could be altered. Right. So if you don't have the mental strength to build back on it, then you're going to be out. So I think it's about having all three, and that's real strength. I think the way to coach that is through talking, When I talk with my clients, I like to learn their story, learn their reason, learn their why. Learn the reason that they decided to, that now is the time they want to get fit, or now is the time they, why is now the time you decided to make the call for help, or why is now the time you're deciding, and kind of, people call it a pain point, but like, what's the pain point that you decided to show up, and letting them know that like, I'm here for you, and I support you, and some days aren't going to be easy. But you have the mental fortitude, and we're going to build that mental fortitude and confidence so that you can do it no matter what.
So I think part of that is if you're in a hurry to get to a result and you don't get there, you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a fall.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to avoid.
Exactly.
Right? You want to have that pressure that you want to enjoy what
Exactly. The enjoy the process. And I think people forget to forget the process, enjoy the journey. I always say, like, working out is a journey, fitness is a journey, because life is a journey. So if you're just worried about, like, I have to get there, you're, like, not focused on anything else, and, like, you're just worried about, like, the end result, and you don't see the journey that it takes to get there, you're not going to enjoy the peaks and the valleys that come along with it, because there is beauty in those lower moments, because you grow from those.
Now, we talked earlier about what goes through your mind when you're about to pick up that bar, you know, especially when you're, you know, you're the last try or whatever. Walk us through that. How was the process like?
So I always say the same three things. My mantra is, I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm powerful. I just say that over and over. I'm strong, I'm confident, I'm powerful, over and over and over. And for me, that's just my mantra. And, like, I've said it so many times, or when I'm about to lift, it just... I say it so many times, it just helps me, and it gets me, like, emotional, because I just say it over and over and over and over, that, like, to me, that, like, I'm strong is that, like, I'm strong physically, I'm confident is something that, like, I'm confident inside and out, and I am powerful to know that I can take over and do anything that's placed in front of me. So that mantra for me is just knowing that, like, I can do this, and I'm not proving it to anyone else. I'm not proving it to try to show off. I'm doing it for me. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to heavy lifting, are trying to, like, get angry at external things. I'm like, I'm doing it to prove to myself that I can do it. I'm doing it to prove to me that it's possible. And I think for me, when it comes down to the heavy lifts and comes down to those moments that could be scary, that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I got it. But it's like, I do got it, because I've trained for this moment, and I'm going to show up for myself in this moment. And just also the mental work that I've done, and I always like to say I do 100 mental reps of just seeing myself do it, because I'm like, if you can see yourself do it, now it's just time to put the physical to it. And that comes to the mental strength of it all.
So you imagine yourself getting the bar and
lifting it
with that weight.
With that weight. I imagine myself... Wow. Being successful. I imagine myself completing it. And I do that in so many aspects of my life, more than just lifting. It's just imagining myself being in scenarios and situations and imagining myself in the success. So when the success comes, it's not that I'm surprised. It's that I'm supposed to be here. I already knew this was going to happen. I'm meant to be here, and it feels right.
Can you talk to us about moments where you were down and then how you came out of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something happened and then you were able to come out.
Yeah, I recently had a fractured foot in July. And I've had injuries in the past, but that was probably my first real injury that I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Like, and for me... I was putting on a pretty brave face. Like, in front of people, I was putting on a pretty brave, brave face. But behind closed doors, it was struggling. I had just come off of, like, probably the best physical strength feeling. My body was the best I'd ever been. And that injury took me for a loop. And just, like, being injured... And a lot of people get injured, but, like, for me, being injured was something that I was like, whoa, this is something that I have to really build from. And even after the injury, once I got my boot off after having the foot fracture, the recovery from that was patience. And I learned patience. And, like, I was like, it's because the fracture was small, but it's realizing how something's so small, if you don't take the time and you aren't patient, it could affect so much. So,
because you want to get back into...
I wanted to get back so fast. Yes. And when I would push too hard, it would set me back. And that's when I had to listen to my body and be like, okay, don't be silly, don't push. Because when I would push hard and try to force it, my body would be like, okay, you wanted to push, watch this. We're going to make you sit down. Yeah. So I think the mental fortitude to be like, you know what, I'm going to listen, I'm going to be patient. And just the knowledge that I had of my body and knowing that I had to listen was the biggest thing that I thanked myself for, is that, okay, I've built this foundation to know that, like, I can build back from this. It's difficult, but I'll be okay.
What was your favorite event during the original Gladiators?
I think watching the original Gladiators, my favorite event, I had two. It was Powerball and Atlasphere. What were your favorites?
Powerball, I think.
Yeah.
I remember Powerball.
So I think my favorites were Powerball and Atlasphere. I think one, just the big hamster ball. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
It's pretty heavy, right?
Yeah. And Atlas, and then Powerball is just like the big hits. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I mean, being a contender, it's a little rough. But being a gladiator, I'm like, oh yeah, this, because like I'm watching everything as like when I'm watching all the episodes, because I was basically doing my research, because I wasn't watching it like as a kid, watching all the episodes from the perspective that I was watching everything was as a gladiator. So when I'm watching everything, it's like, oh, that'd be cool to be doing this, or I would come up with strategies. So it definitely was a different outlook. And I always think, like, what would someone, how do other people watch it? Mm-hmm. Like, when they're watching it, how do they look at it? Because I was looking at it for straight, like, watching film. Like,
I'm
watching film, I would do that. Okay, maybe do that. Okay, that's a good move. So stuff like that.
Yes. Now, we talk about the importance of community, you know, in your emotional life and success.
Yeah.
Tell us about faith. How important is faith?
Every single thing. And I think for me, my faith has been the foundation of my life. It's been the foundation of how I get through everything day to day. I wake up and pray, I journal, I talk to God just about all the time, in good moments and bad moments. And I think for me, faith has been the one thing that keeps me grounded when some things feel a little bit crazy. It's just taking that extra moment to be like, okay, you know what, God, you got me. Because I don't know if I got it, but I know, God, that you got it. So I think for me, faith has been the one thing that's kept me grounded. It's given me a firm foundation. It's given me everything that I don't have. And I think that's why I've been so successful, is that I've had the strength of God carrying me through it all.
That's fantastic. Now, if you were to go back in time when you were a little girl, what advice would you give to yourself for your future career? Just keep going the same way you are, or?
I would say continue to sparkle big. Like, continue to be that bright light, continue to shine bright. Don't let anyone tell you your dreams are silly. Don't let anyone tell you that what you're doing is too crazy. You're not too silly and you're not too loud. I think growing up, I got that I was loud, I was a little bit crazy. And I think I'm like, I'm so glad I never listened to any of that. So I would just tell my younger self to like, keep going. You're doing great. You're on the path. Like, you are doing everything you're supposed to do. And I found, like, you know when you, like, write those letters in to yourself when you're younger? I found those letters. And, like, what you're going to do when you grow up? And what you're going to... And all of the letters that I was writing to myself are exactly what I'm doing. Wow. That I was going to own my own business. That I was going to be... Some of the letters, I wrote one to myself in third grade, to my eighth grade self. And I didn't know I was going to be a personal trainer, but I said I was going to run a business. I didn't know what the business was going to be, but it was always that I was going to be in charge through all my life. And then in eighth grade, it started to be like, you're going to be the CEO of the Special Olympics. Not that I was going to work there, that I was somehow just going to be in charge of it. And then in eighth grade, to my, like, I think 25-year-old self, it was like, you're going to have a fitness company. You're going to be running your own fitness company. So I think I've always known that I was on a path to do my own thing that wasn't the normal work in an office.
Yes.
And I knew it was to be in charge, but I also knew it was to always help people. Like, help people in need, help people in fitness, and just be an inspiration to others.
How would you like to be remembered for the people who are going to watch you on American Gladiators?
I would like to be remembered as a gladiator that is fierce, that has no quit, that fights back in all adversity, and a gladiator that is not one to play with.
And any other advice to the young kids out there, the mm-hmm. ones, you know, who want to, they have a dream and they think, oh, no, I can't do it. It's too hard.
Yeah, it's not too hard. My advice to them would be, like, those moments when you fall, it's okay to fall, but, like, take an extra breath, just breathe, and get up. Even if it starts at a crawl. Start at a crawl, turn it to a walk turns into a jog, and a jog turns into a sprint. I would just say, like, it's never too hard. It might seem too difficult, but you can do it. And if one door closes, I don't even say wins and losses. I say wins and lessons. Like, yes. Don't even look at losses as a loss. There's a lesson behind it. There's a reason that might have happened. And you just have to know that it's going to be okay and that there has to be an explanation for it.
What I really like is how you are able to keep up with the pressure and not let it affect you. Like, we have these examples like Alicia Liu. She mm-hmm. won in the Olympics. Yeah. And then she retired at 16 because of the pressure.
Yeah.
Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, mm-hmm. she also had so much pressure and she retired and she came back.
Yeah.
And she won the U.S. Open or something, right? So you have all these examples where when the pressure is not there or you're able to handle it well, mm-hmm. you do so well. It doesn't, like, you know, almost like suffocate you.
Yeah. And at times it can seem suffocating. It can seem like the walls are closing in, there's no way out. And I've had those moments. And I think for me, in those moments, one, I just have to pray. And two, I have to know that, like, it's going to be okay. And even for me, some of those moments just might look like going to the gym, putting my headphones on, and just throwing some weights around and just having a moment. And I might start crying in the gym. And I, oh my gosh, my gym community has seen me through every emotion. Shout out to them. But they've seen me through every emotion. And it's just like allowing yourself, one, to have those emotions. Don't bury them. They're okay. And just to know that, like, there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. That tunnel might be kind of long. It might be long. And also don't compare your tunnel or your success to someone else's. Like, you're like, oh, why'd that person get it so easy? Why'd they, like, get lucky? There isn't luck. Right. There isn't a reason why that person got what they got. You're on your path, and you have to know that your path is meant for you.
Sydney, we thank you so much for your
thank
time.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
So much fun.
We're going to watch the show, and we'll be thinking of you. We thank you again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching another episode of Bay Area Innovators. If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who should be on our show, please send us an email at sfbay@epochtimes.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you and see you next week.